BlogTalkZone.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the multi-million dollar interstellar media broadcast communication studios, it's Lawyers Who Needs Them, featuring Randall Simonetti and Jim Hartman. And now, here's Jim and Randall.
Welcome, 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 America. Welcome to Lawyers Who Needs Them. I'm Randall Simonetti.
And I'm Jim Hartman.
And he still is Jim Hartman, ladies and gentlemen. He's been Jim Hartman for many,
many
years.
Every week.
And he continues to remain as Jim Hartman.
Absolutely.
To the benefit of all of us. Now, each week, my partner, Mr. Hartman, and I attempt to take the mystery and complexity out of our legal system.
And perhaps inject some common sense and a sense of humor back in.
Right. Sense of humor is a prerequisite for this program. Because this is a lighthearted look at the law.
Right.
Okay. Someday you'll have to define for me what lighthearted look is. But anyway, well, we appreciate you joining our program. And a little bit later in the program, we answer questions from our loyal listeners from throughout the United States and occasionally Canada.
Yeah.
We charge them more if they're from Canada. But
right.
Yes, the yen is a little higher there than it is here. Anyway, if you have a question for us, simply send it in to info@lawyerswhoneedsthem.com. That's info@lawyerswhoneedsthem.com, and we'll be happy to answer those questions a little bit later on the show or absolutely next week. And we are always amazed at the good questions that we get and the questions that really are practical and people want to know what's going on, and Mr. Hartman confuses them.
Right.
Anyway, well, it's time for a little frontline news, and this week, I think the general term would be we're experiencing a culture of violence, and we're going to talk about that a little bit.
It's
not specifically a case, so to speak, but this what we experienced this week was really quite monumental.
Right. I don't think we can ignore it. It's certainly not lighthearted in this respect.
Exactly.
But obviously, we had Congressman Giffords. Gabriel Giffords of Arizona was shot in the head, and with her, six people were killed and others wounded by a maniac. And it's just one example of what's going on. I mean, these things are terrible. We talk about incivility and this, but it's gone way beyond incivility. For instance, in Mexico, our neighbors of the South, they're always beheading people. There were 14 people beheaded in the resort at Acapulco, where a lot of Americans go to Acapulco for vacations.
Was it Acapulco or Cancun?
It was Acapulco.
Acapulco, yeah, that's a...
And those are drug gangs. So the funny thing is they decapitate you. They had 15 bodies and there were 14 bodies with no heads and one body had his head. He didn't lose his head. You know, and the difficulty there is you got these bodies laying around, and you got to find the right head to go with the right body. You could put the wrong head on a wrong body. But no, that's not. I guess we shouldn't take that lightly. But there's an example. Now, that's not the first time this has happened. They had some beheadings recently in Chihuahua, not in Chihuahua, in Juarez. Well, Chihuahua is the city south of San Diego.
Is that
where
the name
of the... What are you laughing? It's not just a dog's name.
I thought it was the dog.
It's not a dog. Chihuahua is a province.
I'm not even sure a Chihuahua...
The state of Chihuahua.
...is a dog.
Well, it's really a rat that looks like a dog.
It's a rat with long legs.
That's right.
It's not really a dog. Now, there are a lot of Chihuahua lovers out there.
There were 9 decapitated people dumped in the... I can't pronounce this. Chilpancingo, state capital of the Guerrero region. In the Yucatan Peninsula.
Yeah, that's a great bunch.
And then there were 17 people killed in some other place. I mean, and they're beheaded. The way they do it is they take your head off. Now, this is, I don't know what we can do. That's Mexico. We got to worry about ourselves.
Right.
And we have all of this shooting. And, for instance, you know, the McVeigh thing in Oklahoma. The violence that occurred in New York. The violence that occurs every day. You read in the paper. Shootings, even in our small city, every day there's at least one or two shootings and a fatality or two. Now, this situation, there was a comment made in an article by Paul Krugman, and he attributes this all to the right, that everybody on the right is using volatile language, and is exercising. And,
on the right.
The so right. He's the conservative right. He thinks
okay,
it's
so
only.
He's using this event to politicize it.
There has, in fact, been a rising tide of threats and vandalism aimed at elected officials, including both Judge John Roll, who was killed Saturday,
right.
the federal court judge
right.
killed, and Representative Gabrielle Giffords. And he says that this, it's true that the shooter in Arizona appears to have been mentally troubled. And another thing, it appears he was a very left-wing guy, which he doesn't mention.
Right.
So, we talk about, I'm not political in this thing.
It's wrong
but
to do that.
There, if crime is crime, it's not, there's not a Democratic crime or Republican
exactly.
crime.
Exactly.
It's not a Democratic shooting or a Republican shooting. It's a shooting. It's
right.
a crime. And to start to write about this is only inflammatory itself.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Krugman is a little bit left of the center anyway, but mm-hmm. because he says the vitriolic rhetoric that we hear day in and day out from people in the radio business and some people in the TV business, the vast majority of those that listen to the and all of that, and he says it comes from the right, and he says there's a large contrast in the media. Oh, he says, where is that toxic rhetoric coming from? Let's not make a false pretense of balance. It's coming overwhelmingly from the right. It's hard to imagine a Democratic member of Congress urging constituents to be armed and dangerous without being ostracized. Well, he says, there's a huge contrast in the media. Listen to Rachel Maddow or Keith Olbermann, and you'll hear a lot of caustic remarks and mockery aimed at Republicans. Now, I want to interject. That's correct. And you've also left out Alec Baldwin. You've left out what's her name with the long nose? Barbara Streisand. And you've left out Al Franken, who is now a senator,
right.
who when he was on radio was the
toxic.
Most vitriolic
right.
person I ever heard.
Exactly.
And they're all left.
Yeah.
You also, Mr. Krugman, refer to the present administration as mildly liberal president, a mildly liberal president. Well, if that's mild, I'd hate to see what hysteria is. But in any event, I don't want to take part in this. I don't care who it is or what it is.
Right, it's a
the
crime.
Violence is violence, and you're right. This horrible incivility. I'll give you a small example.
Please make it small.
Make it small. You go to a restaurant and you say thank you, and they say no problem. Well, I'm not interested in whether you got a problem or not. I would like you to say you're welcome. If you got a problem, that's a problem. If there is no problem, glad to hear you don't have any problems, but that doesn't respond to the statement, thank you.
Yeah.
And this is the kind of way people are. Now, lawyers in courtrooms are uncivil. But so much time is being spent on professionalism and civility and all of that because we are brought up even in a profession which usually, although, you know, it's very much maligned and everybody makes fun of lawyers. Actually, people love to hate lawyers. But it's always been rather, you know, distinguished and so forth. But now it's gotten to the point where, I mean, guys are practically throwing, bombs at each other. I remember, some time ago, these two guys, they weren't exactly, you wouldn't call them paragons of judicial knowledge or wisdom. And they were in the elevator in a courthouse in Ireland screaming, fighting each other. And as a friend of mine said, listen, if either one had killed the other, it would not be homicide. It would be germicide. There is no humor in this situation, and we have to calm down. We have to stop this kind of nonsense. Frankly, I think we have to be a little stricter in how we treat criminals. I mean, this business,
exactly more.
Welcoming and worrying and
right.
this whole thing about Guantanamo has gotten out of hand, too. Let's, these aren't the worst thing now is civil disorder. That's the worst thing. It's not that an innocent man may be thrown in the clink. It's that we have absolute chaos.
Which I believe reinforces and justifies my theory from the beginning that we should have the death penalty for parking meter violations.
Well, don't be crazy.
All right. Can we go to the number two?
For you, they should have it. You, Paul. Right.
All right.
Okay.
You want to talk about insanity? Here's another level of insanity. A killer is about to get his victim's inheritance.
Well, this is
how is that possible?
Well, when he gets out of prison, a fellow by the name of Brandon Palladino Was that the name of a guy that ran for governor in New York?
Paladino.
No, it wasn't Brandon. It
no,
was,
it was, but there was a Paladino.
A Paladino. But anyway, this guy spells it with two L's.
Okay.
He went to prison for killing his wife. And he'll get out of prison, and he's going to get $200,000 from the mother-in-law. Oh, no, he didn't kill his wife. He killed his mother-in-law.
Oh, well, that means
that's justifiable homicide.
That's the that's a whole different case.
That's a whole different thing. No wonder he's getting an error.
He's killed his
mother-in-law. He's living with her for a week. He's entitled to $200,000. So he's going to get $200,000 from the mother-in-law he was convicted of killing. And here's how it worked.
All right.
The family is outraged, naturally, because they'd like the money.
Well, but
Paladino.
But he killed her. I mean,
well,
I can understand them being outraged.
Well, yeah, he killed her dead. So Paladino, 24 years old, was convicted in December 2008 of the death of Diane Edwards, the mother-in-law of his wife, Deanna.
Okay.
He admitted killing her. She was only 59 at the time.
Oh, my God.
And when she found him trying, he killed her because she found him trying to steal jewelry from a home in Long Island, in near New York. Anyway.
He's a hell of a guy, isn't
Edwards,
he?
Edwards, the lady who was killed, left her estate to her daughter.
Okay.
Who died in February. So that the daughter is
right.
The wife.
Of the son.
Of the son who killed the daughter's father,
right.
Mother. So. The inheritance goes through that daughter to Paladino.
Now, how did his wife die? Natural causes?
Natural causes. Because he was in prison already when she died.
So he couldn't have had anything to do with
it. He couldn't have had anything to do with that, I don't think.
Oh, that's a shame.
He pleaded guilty to manslaughter and so forth because he's serving 25 years. He'll get off sooner than that, of course, because they don't have room in prison for only manslaughter.
Right.
Because they don't have a death penalty in the state of New York.
Well, they have, but they don't enforce
it. It's tantamount to not having it.
Okay.
Anyway, whether or not the victim's relatives will be able to contest this allocation of the assets is a matter for a civil court to decide. The criminal thing has nothing to do with
right.
this right now.
This is a civil issue.
Because he is actually inheriting from his wife, not from the lady he killed.
Right.
I think the law says you cannot inherit from the person you kill.
Right.
So, he didn't kill the wife, and that's what the law says.
This is a technicality.
This is a little technicality. Oh, and she had the freedom to decide what to do with the property. And
that's right. She could have changed her will,
and that's
right?
According to a law professor who specializes and teaches trusts, estates, and wills.
Now, this will take place in surrogates court?
In New York State, they call it surrogates court, where estates are administered.
Okay.
And where you can contest the distribution either by law or under the will. However, there are a lot of states, including the state of New York, in which you cannot cut off your spouse entirely. You can what we call elect against the will. So, for instance, if I had a will and it said, you know, you don't get anything to my husband,
right,
who I loved all these years,
right,
drop dead, you don't get anything,
right.
He says, no, I'm going to get something. And under the distributive statutes of the state
of New York,
there are, every state has a distributive statute, so that without a will, your property is distributed. Now, without a will, the husband would get.
Would get it, right.
And that's his elective, that's the share he gets if he elects against a will which cuts him out.
Okay.
So it's very problematical here whether you can cut him out altogether. And again, that varies from state to state. This is not legal advice. The only advice I can give you is don't kill your mother-in-law.
No.
Or your wife.
Yeah, for that matter. Don't kill anybody.
Yeah, don't kill.
Just behave yourself.
That's right.
When we come back, we're going to find out why the Texas police, school police, are ticketing people at 6 years old.
Right.
You're listening to Lawyers Who Needs Them. Don't go away.